So I'm proudly co-sponsoring this with Representative Mitchell. We've been hearing from constituents for months now that we're 9 months without a budget, about why are legislators being paid if there aren't social services being paid, aren't vendors being paid. And so this, you know, we've gone 12 years without a balanced budget. And so this is a measure saying if we don't do our constitutionally required job to pass a balanced budget, then it not only forces the legislature back to pass a balanced budget, but it withholds pay until there's a balanced budget passed. So I think it adds some teeth to the constitutional requirement that we already are under.
And so that whole term balanced budget has been up for debate for a long time, obviously. Where would the power of the final decision be in what a balanced budget looks like?
Yeah, so at the beginning of every session, we're supposed to pass a revenue estimate, which means that we all agree what money we think is coming in this fiscal year. And so that would be how we would determine whether or not a budget was balanced, if it met our revenue estimate. We've yet to even pass a revenue estimate in the state, so it's difficult to even begin the budgeting process without that. But under this bill, the Auditor General looks at that revenue estimate that's passed, and then says from there, if the budget meets that, then it would be balanced and the Auditor General would certify it as balanced. Or if it were out of balance, like we've seen for the past 12 years, then it would go back to the House having to come into session within 10 days and then pass a budget that does meet that revenue estimate.
And then is it true that the comptroller could call the legislators back at any time if they deem the budget to be unbalanced?
So the mechanism is, yes, that it would be within 10 days. So within 30 days of passing a budget, the Auditor General would have to certify it balanced. And then within 10 days of saying it wasn't balanced, the legislature would have to come back in and go back into session. So there are a couple of mechanisms that would force us to get back to work.
And so we've seen this idea floated before by past governors, the last two Democratic ones, for instance, and often goes to court. So what makes this different? How would it pass legal muster?
So I think that it's different when the legislature itself says we are going to put this limitation on ourselves. I think that this is also just a good practice of saying we're going to start with ourselves and hold ourselves accountable. So I think that if the legislature were to pass it, it makes it a little different than if it were coming from the governor.
Have you heard of anyone who's critical of the measure, or are legislators quick to say, yeah, sure, great idea, I don't need pay?
So we have some co-sponsors. I'm one of them. So I think that overwhelmingly people think it makes sense to incentivize having a balanced budget and having a budget in place. Certainly there are concerns. There's concerns with everything, and that's why you work on it to make it a better bill. There are concerns about, you know, what if that's your only pay? What if that's what legislators are relying on? Which I think actually makes it stronger. I think that makes the motivation even stronger to come back and have a balanced budget and get things moving.
Do you have a sense at all if there will be a budget in place for FY16 by the time we get to July and need a new one?
You know, I'm really optimistic because there are so many people relying on state services, so many people who have, you know, not been paid for months and months. I think that there is certainly room for a bipartisan compromise on this. I'm working with legislators across the aisle and we're talking about, you know, how do we get there. So I'm hopeful there will be a budget. I'm hopeful that the leaders continue to meet. I think that it's our constitutional requirement. So we need to make sure that we're in Springfield and that that's our number one priority.
And just a little background on you.
Sure.
You were appointed to this position. And how old are you?
So I'm 24 years old. I was appointed a little over a year ago. It's been an absolute privilege, such an honor, but also much more frustrating and very different than I expected all at the same time.
Can you talk a little bit about those challenges?
Yeah, so this is a really unique time in Illinois' history. Certainly it's an unprecedented budget stalemate, but more than that, being a member of the super minority party in the lower house brings unique challenges as well. So while we haven't had a budget, it's been difficult to talk about some of the big issues that I think are facing our state across the board, issues that I think impact generations to come. So yeah, frustrating in that there hasn't been much progress, frustrating in that it's difficult to have too loud of a voice when you are in the super minority in the lower house. But I would say such a privilege because I get to work with people and talk with people every day about solutions and get to talk to constituents about their ideas and how government can work better to help them. So it's an interesting job.